Okay, so this is what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about hearing the Lord's voice. How many of you guys want to grow in discerning the Lord's voice, hearing his voice? Yeah, come on. Yes, that means we love Jesus here. Okay, so for me, this is the thing, is that so often in church, we talk about the fact that we have a relationship with God. It's about relationship and not about religion, right? We talk about that, and it's good, right? For me, though, relationship means we have conversations with people, right? And that means, a conversation means we can speak to somebody, but we can also hear them speak back, right? That's what a conversation is, right? And so how many of you guys have a best friend that you never talk with? No, stop it, dude. Yeah, these guys. No, it would be very strange, right, if you had a best friend that you never talked to. Or it'd be very strange, too, if you had a best friend and you were relying on some guy to come into church maybe like once every year and stand up and say something to you, right? Or that you had to call him and say, what is this best friend thinking about me? He's my best friend. And then he's like, hold on, let me see. Best friend loves you. Okay. And, you know, so that would be strange, right? And yet so often that's what we think, right? As believers, it's like, hey, listen, we got to wait for the prophet to come in if we actually want like a personalized word from the Lord. How many of you guys sometimes have thought that? Anyways, I've thought that sometimes. Okay, that's how I was raised, okay? And so what I want to talk about tonight, I'm not talking about each of you is going to be called to be a prophet, okay? What I'm basing this on is John 10:27, in which Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, okay? So he's saying, my sheep hear my voice. And so if you've accepted Jesus into your life, if you've said, listen, Jesus, I surrender the rights to my life. I surrender the rights to my spirit, man, to you. And I ask for the spirit of Jesus to come live inside of me. Then you have transferred over into his family and you are a sheep in his pasture. Have you guys done that? You, Diana, have you done that? You're not shaking your head. I'm going to call on people. Daniel, beautiful hair. Yes, you did it. Okay, good. All right. So you're a sheep. Okay, you even have the shit. You shave that off and make probably like a woolen cloth out of it. So we'll do that later. No. Okay. So for me, what happened is I wanted to begin to grow in this. So I began to say like, Lord, I want to hear your voice. Okay. And so what I would do is, and this was around 10 years ago. And so I'm basically going to do this. I'm just going to tell you my story in this. And then I'm going to tell a few little testimonies about how I heard the Lord's voice. And then we're going to talk about his voice very quickly, what it sounds like. And then we're going to close really with asking him questions and resting. And I believe he's going to speak with each one of you. Okay? I really believe that. He's going to speak with you. Okay, so that's just, you know, sometimes you're like, where's this guy going? Okay, so now you know the trajectory. Okay, it'll 25 minutes. Okay, bear with me here. Okay, so what happened is I would wake up every day. It's around 10 years ago. And I would say like, Lord, I want to hear your voice. And I don't know, and what I would do is I would just wake up, I'd be driving to work, and I would just ask him very simply like that. I wouldn't beg him, I wouldn't say, Lord, please, you know, because I feel like this, is that when you pray often in that context, it's the same voice as if you're like, don't kill me, right, or like, please, you know, please, hurt, you know, don't hurt me, right? And I think of it this way, is that if my children came to me in that voice, and said like, please, Dad, please, would you give me some bread? Would you give me a piece of cake? Would you, like begging me, it would hurt me because I would think they fundamentally don't understand the love that I have for them. Does that make sense? And so when you begin to really understand at a deeper level the love that God has for you, that you're a child in his family, that you're safe in the family, you begin to come to him and he said, listen, if you ask me for bread, I will not give you a snake. And so there's two ways to ask things. There's two ways to pray. I know people who are intercessors, but they're praying out of fear the whole time. Lord, but you know, as opposed to like, Lord, I thank you that your word says this, and I stand on this promise, and I thank you that you're going to be doing this thing. You see? And so there's two different ways to pray. There's two different ways to do things, okay? But I'd be over here, and I would just say, Lord, God, it says here that your sheep hear your voice. I know I'm in your family, and I want to hear your voice more. So around 2 weeks into this, I would be doing this. So I came to a service just similar to this, and just described the first time that I consciously like heard his voice. Each of you has heard his voice, by the way, at least once. Like it was his voice that called you into his family, right? It was his voice. You were sitting there, and you all have different experiences with this. You could have been at home when you were 4 years old, and you're like, Mommy, I want to accept Jesus. Or it could have been, you know, 2 weeks ago. Was that you? No, I'm kidding. So it could have been 2 weeks ago. you know, and you were sitting there and there was an altar call and you were just like, I have to go up. I have to go up, whatever it is. But it's that was his voice speaking to you. Okay. It's a still small voice. Okay. So what happened was I came to a worship service very similar to what we had here. And I was worshiping the Lord. There was a, you know, we were a group of cool cats. I mean, you know, early 20s, cool cats, young, beautiful people. And anyways, I'm just kidding, okay? But we were, okay. So basically, there was a girl named Jana that was next to me, and she was on the ground just crying her eyes out. And, you know, good Slavic girl, okay? So I'm worshiping, and this thought comes to me. Tell her that I love her, okay? And so I'm like, okay, like, Lord, is that you? Anyways, and I was reminded of the prayer I prayed that morning, like, Lord, I want to hear your voice more. And it just said, tell her that I love her. And I was like, oh, wow, okay. How many of you guys, you've ever had the Lord say something like that to you? Okay, come on, good. All right, good, okay, good. So you can identify. We'll get beyond this, okay? But so basically, so I'm like, okay, Lord, but that's so basic. But if that's you, I'll do it. I'll take a big step of faith here, okay? So I go down there, and I'm just like, hey, Jana, like, I feel like God's saying that he loves you. And she just starts crying more and more. I'm like, oh, anyway. So I get back up, start worshiping again, like just try to put my mind out of it, okay? Anyway, so afterwards she comes up. She's like, Matt, like, how did you know to tell me that? Like, I don't know. I just felt this thing. And then she was like, I just asked God, like, God, do you love me anymore? And I'm like, hey, God loves you. Anyways, so that was fun. So fast forward the next week, my friend Stuart, he's an American guy, and there's this girl, Yelena, who I hadn't met before, but it's basically like this, like a bunch of people, Stuart, Yelena, me, Jana, three other guys, two girls. Anyways, so it's basically Yelena and this guy, Stuart. Stuart's my friend. So Stuart, this is the summer. He came to Christ literally on Easter. He's one of those guys that I invited to church on Easter, and you're praying the whole time when, like, you know, there's a lot of new people there. The pastor's giving the altar call, and you're praying like, Lord, Lord. And he stands up. It's like, whoa. So he stood up. He gave his life to Jesus, okay? So he's like a baby Christian, 3 months, okay? But we have been talking about hearing the Lord's voice. I had shared my testimony from the week before, and we began to be very sensitive that as we're worshiping, let's keep our eyes closed, and God shows us pictures sometimes. One way, and we'll talk about it. He speaks through pictures, right? In our mind's eye. And so he was worshiping, and he said, this girl next to me, I saw her running on the beach. Anyways, and he jumps over her, and he's like, I see this picture of this girl. I'm like, what do I do? I'm like, I don't know, just tell her, man. Anyways, he's this big country dude. He's got cowboy boots. Imagine this cowboy boot guy next to this Slavic girl in Kabluki, okay? Really funny picture, okay? And so he's like, hey, I see this picture of you running on the beach. Does that mean anything to you, barefoot? And she's like, no, like, I can't run on the beach. She said, actually, a car ran over my ankles 2 years ago. And I can't, yes, she's in Kabluki, I don't know. But she's like, listen, but I can't run. I can't do anything like that. It's impossible. And he's like, well, I don't know what to do. Can I just pray for you? So she's like, yeah, I guess. So again, this country guy, you know, goes down, just lays hands on her ankle. And she's probably thinking, what is this guy doing? But he just prays for her, right? And then he stands up. And so we go back into worship. They go back into worship. I'm kind of watching it, but I'm worshiping. And then she said, I felt the need to start rocking back and forth. And so she started to rock back and forth. And she said, like, her ankles just began to pop like 100 times. She said, and every time it started feeling better and better. And so this was like worship at the end. So like Stuart and I, like, we're guys. So we headed out early. We're like, let's go. So we go. Anyways, we've changed since then. Well, I mean, we're like, you know, worshipers to the very end now. But we go out and we're just hanging out there. And then all of a sudden these three screaming girls come running out and they're all crying and they run up to us and they're like, she's healed, she's healed. And so, so the next day she goes running on the beach barefoot. Like, she gets up in the morning, she goes anyways. And it's just like, whoa. Anyways, so it's really cool. And like, Jesus healed her. So actually around a month later, we got a barbecue restaurant and we're like, Stuart and I were watching this football game. We're watching Tim Tebow. Anyways, and she comes in with her friends, and we're like, oh my gosh, that's the girl. So we go up to her and like, are you still healed? She's like, yes. She starts crying again. Anyways, it was so fun. So, okay, I'll tell you one more story. Stories are fun, yeah? Stories of Jesus. Yeah, it's like, this is so awesome. So I'll tell you one more story, and then we'll kind of talk about his voice, and then we'll practice. So this is around maybe 6 months later. I'm at Chick-fil-A, and have you heard the story? Probably. Yeah, probably. Okay. Well, anyways, I'm at Chick-fil-A. It's just a fun story. And I'm sitting there with my friend. It's actually Dina Nazarchuk. Do you guys know Dina? She lives in Colorado Springs. She moved. Anyways. So we were talking about some SMBS stuff, some stuff at the school. And we're sitting there talking. And all of a sudden, there's a really young girl that's chubby that gets out of a car. Anyways, I'm calling it how it is, okay? So she's chubby. She gets out of the car, and she's going into Chick-fil-A, and I'm like, okay. Anyways, and what happened was is that as soon as I saw her, I felt this voice say that she's pregnant, you should tell her that that I love her, that Jesus loves her, and that I'm gonna be providing for the baby. Anyways, and so. How many of you guys want to go up to a chubby 15-year-old girl or 16? I mean, she was really young. She looked like, you know, one of you guys, you know, 16-year-old girl, and like ask her if she's pregnant. Yeah. You don't want to, right? So I did what you guys would do, and I was just like, Lord, I'm gonna pray that she gets that right now. Anyways, so we keep talking, okay? And so it turns out she was getting something to go. So she goes in, she orders her stuff, and she's walking out, and probably right where you are. I heard this like, go, go, go. How many of you guys have ever gotten that from the Lord? Yeah, come on. Or even gotten that, you don't know it's the Lord, but it's the Lord, okay? And so I was like, so I just said, hold on. And so I run up to her and I'm like, hey, listen, like, I know this may sound strange, but I love Jesus and I have to ask, are you pregnant? And then she's like, yes. And I was like, oh, anyways, okay. So I was like, well, I knew if that was right, then probably the rest is right. So I just said, hey, listen, like, this may sound strange too, but I felt like Jesus told me that because he lives inside of me. And he also wanted you to know that he loves you, that he's not mad at you, and that he's going to be providing for your baby. And she just starts crying, you know, just crying, like, how could you know this? How could you know this? And she's like, today of all days, you tell me this. It's like, whoa, anyways. And then I start crying. And then she asks if she can hug me. I'm like, yes. Yeah. So we hug for probably like 20 seconds. And then we come away, and I'm like, and I'm starting to go into the gospel. When all of a sudden her boyfriend gets out of the car and is like, hey, what's going on here? Anyways, and I was like, he's like, we need to go. So she was just, you know, we hugged one more time. She got in the car. But the point is this, is that the Lord speaks with us, right? So how many of you guys hear his voice somewhat regularly in your lives? You feel that way. And don't be ashamed. It's okay. Either way, don't be ashamed. Like, we're always growing in this. We're trying to drink in the ocean of God's love and of who he is. And we're going to be at different points on that, okay? So wherever you are, you're probably past where I was at your age, which is really, really good, okay? So what I want to do is just talk really briefly about what his voice sounds like. So I believe that there are three main voices that are in our thought life, okay? These are, a lot of times we think they're all our thoughts, but we have to begin to realize that there are three voices in our mind. Okay, there's the voice of the enemy. Okay, this voice, it says, the enemy comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. Okay, but I have come that you may have life and life abundantly, Jesus says in John, okay? And so the voice of the enemy, it sounds like it's a voice that begins to steal from you. Okay, steals potential. It's a voice of fear. Okay, the enemy loves to have voices of fear attack us. How many of you guys have thoughts that hit you about the future and you worry about them? Yeah, okay, that's almost always the enemy. It is always the enemy, right? Because if we truly have taken in the idea that Jesus says, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you, or goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life, right? And if we take that in and that becomes the foundation for every single thought, we don't fear the future anymore, right? Right, we actually come to have peace when we think about the future, even if we're in a concentration camp, because we're fully convinced that the worst thing that could happen is that we would die and we would go to heaven. But we've been so convinced of the reality of that we lose the right to have fear. In fact, I believe that fear should be foreign for Christians. Right, we should lose the right to ever have fear, and it may creep up sometimes in intense situations. But I'm saying that the norm of our life should be that fear is foreign. Okay, so voices of fear. Voices of condemnation, voices of self-hate, voices of insecurity, right? Insecurity stealing potential, stealing literally peace from you, okay? So that's what his voice sounds like. Does that make sense? As I'm saying that, are you thinking of thoughts that come up in your mind sometimes? We have to realize that that's the enemy, okay? And so I don't want to meditate on a voice of the enemy. Okay, so I'll say this really quickly. I don't know about you, but this is what happens with me. When a thought from the enemy comes up in my mind, a thought of fear, okay, I have around 2 seconds to either reject it, or if I begin to meditate on it, okay, it could be fear, it could be lust for guys. happened a lot, certainly when I was younger, okay, and I would begin to meditate on it. Within 5 seconds, my emotional world was kind of involved, and it seemed like it was true. Okay, so what I've learned is the thought comes up and I reject it, and I typically go into worship now. It's hard for me not to think of something. If you're like, hey, don't think of this thing, you're like, oh, I don't want to think of it, but you're thinking of it. So I learned I have to actually think of something else actively, okay? So for me, I begin to hum my favorite worship song or just actively think of something else. Okay, that's the voice of the enemy. The voice of the Lord, the voice of God, it sounds like the fruits of the Spirit, okay? So we know that the more that the Holy Spirit is in a person, is in an organization, is in something, the fruit of his presence will be, do you guys know the fruits of the Spirit? Love, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control, right. So that's the more, so Galatians 5, the fruits of the Spirit. So the more that Jesus is in your thought life, the more it will abound in love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, gentleness, patience, self-control, okay? The more that it will abound in those things. Does that make sense? So that's what his voice sounds like. So thoughts from him are in that way, okay? So those are the two main differences. One of the biggest benefits of learning the Lord's voice is learning to discern the enemy's voice and reject those things. There are so many believers who they don't do that. They don't fight this battlefield of the mind. They don't get any victory in this, and they're just tossed by the waves. It says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Someone who does not guard his thought life, someone who simply is a victim to whatever thoughts come up. No, you have to begin to stand on these things. Okay, so does that make sense? So that's what they sound like. Okay. So let's see this. Likewise, his voice obviously never contradicts Scripture. Okay, never. We know that. I mean, in Galatians 1:8. But even if we are an angel from heaven or a really really cool prophetic word should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let them be under God's curse. Okay, so if you have, I've had guys come to me and they're like, Matt, I feel like the Lord's telling me to move in with my girlfriend. I'm like, that's not the Lord, man. Like, it's not the Lord, you know. So okay, so and another thing too is that often his voice will ask us to take a step of risk. Okay, so how many of you guys have had this where the Lord's asked you to do something, to step out? Yeah? What happened to you? No? Okay. Anybody want to share? Come on, we're interactive here. Deanna, you want to share? You got something? Okay. Daniel, Matthew, Matthias? Okay. All right. Okay, so, but here's the thing is that, so his voice is the one that says, step out, say this thing, do this thing. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. He's always calling us into places of risk in a way. So it's a risky thing when he's like, hey. So his voice often does that. And what I've learned is this too, is that there's almost always two voices, okay? How many of you guys have had this? The Lord tells you, you feel this compunction, you feel this thing, call this person, pray for them, or step out, or share something. There's a first voice, but there's a second voice too, isn't there? That says, don't do that thing. You're not ready. You're not a Christian enough, or whatever it is, right? And so the thing is, or it could just be, oh, this is just you, right? That's a common second voice. But there's two voices. It's important to realize that. A lot of times we think, oh, the second voice is me. It's like, no, there's two voices. And I've learned this, is that the second voice is almost always the enemy. And the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy what the Lord wants to do in that moment in time, okay? And so really, how you respond to those voices is going to depend upon, that's going to basically decide a lot of the adventure you're going to live in Christ, whether you go with the first voice, which is his voice, or the second voice. Does that make sense? Okay. So we talked about like the tone of his voice, okay? In what ways does he speak, okay? So he speaks in a lot of different ways. There's the audible voice of the Lord. How many of you guys have ever heard the audible voice of the Lord? I haven't, but I've heard a whisper. You have. Let's talk later. That's fun. So, yeah, I mean, it happens. I've heard a whisper that was almost so powerful that it felt audible, but it wasn't. I don't think anybody else heard it. But one common way that he speaks is impressions in our spirit, subtle impressions, pichitlenia, okay, in our spirit, like little whispers in our spirit, man, I would say. So when I was sitting there, there was like a little whisper like, she's pregnant, all these different things. So there are thoughts that came up in my mind, okay? So little subtle impressions that come up. How many of you guys get those sometimes, from time to time? Okay, good. You're praying for somebody, and something comes, all of a sudden you're praying for this area of their life, or you see, you know, things like that. Okay, but it's little phrases or something that are whispered in. How many of you guys have this? He also speaks through our feelings. You're praying for something. So sometimes we have a lot of youth prayers, and you come up and you're praying for somebody. This is just how sometimes it happens for me. I lay my hands on somebody and I just feel fear. Like I feel like as if I was afraid, as if I had just watched a scary movie, right? And I feel fear, and I realize I'm sensing kind of what's attacking them. How many of you guys have ever had anything like that? Okay, yeah. And so we're not meant to pray fear over them. We're meant to pray peace, right? Peace chases out fear. Love chases out fear. My perfect love casts out fear. Okay, so how many of you guys have ever had this where, and this is why I close my eyes when I'm worshiping, but how many of you guys, as you're worshiping or as you're praying for people, you see kind of like pictures in your mind's eye? How many of you guys get that? Okay, so it'd be like this. If you just close your eyes and you imagine like your childhood home, or you imagine an elephant, okay? I'm not saying that's what we do, but I'm just saying that's what it looks like if you pictured an elephant. So, and I know people that they see things like with their eyes open. I'm not that person. But I do know people like that, okay? The same thing with videos. So, I mean, I've had many things where I'm praying for people and I get a video kind of going through my mind of them doing something, okay? How many of you guys have ever had that? Okay, yeah. So I'm just kind of pointing things out. Yeah, but most of what I get are impressions. Like I was in worship around 3 weeks ago. I was at the Russian conference. I'm standing there worshiping, and the Lord's like, look around. So I'm looking around, and then I see this girl, and he's like, yeah, that girl was homeless, and she was physically abused when she was younger. I was like, whoa. Anyway, so they're like little whispers, you know. Okay, physical sensations. So I have a friend named Vitaly Lute, and he moves in Wars of Knowledge for healing like this. So he'll feel like his elbow is hurt or something, and he knows like, okay, the Lord wants to heal an elbow in the room. And it's not always like the guy who has a cast on, okay? So one crazy story. Do you want to hear a story or is it okay? One fun story. He's coming to visit me like 2 years ago, and he's like, I was like, so how was your trip? Normally you're just like, oh, the flight was okay. He's like, oh man, something crazy happened. So he gets so many words of knowledge that he knows like all the names for like the lumbar. I mean, you know these things as a nurse, like, you know, like the names of your vertebrae. Anyways, I don't know. So he's like, all of a sudden my 20 thorax started hurting. And so I'm looking around and like, God, I was like, God, well, who's hurting? And he's in an airport. Sorry. He's in the airport in Dallas. He's flying to meet me. And his lumbar starts hurting. So he's sitting there and he's like, who is it? And you imagine all these people walking by. And all of a sudden, God highlights this Muslim woman over there who's wearing a headscarf, who's facing the other way. And he's like, really, Lord? He's like, yeah. I mean, he's like, really, Lord? And he just hears a whisper, yes, you know? And so just functionally, that's how it works for him. And so he goes over there and he's like, listen, this may sound crazy, but does your 20 thorax hurt? Anyways, and she's like, yes, I had surgery on it 2 weeks ago. It's killing me still, though. They didn't fix it. There's something wrong. And he's like, well, this is, you know, it was kind of funny. She wasn't so surprised by it. And he's like, well, Jesus told me to come pray for you. She's like, Jesus? And he's like, yeah, can I pray for you? And so she's like, well, yeah, okay, I guess. So we got time. So he prays for her. She gets healed. Stands up, hey, like bend over, do things you can't do. I'm fine. Anyway, she didn't accept Jesus, which sometimes you're just like, what? Anyways, but still, she got healed, and definitely she has something to think about. So that's just how that can work sometimes, physical sensations. I know other guys that get that. And then visions and dreams. My wife has a lot of dreams in the evenings, and more I'm kind of growing that. I'm asking, like, Lord, I want to grow in that too. How many of you guys get, like, dreams that you feel are from the Lord? Yeah. Yeah. And there are different dreams. It's like, sometimes it's like, you know, you dream about just, you know, crazy things, you know, I don't know, just, you know, but typically when it's from the Lord, like you wake up with an inner sense of knowing, like there's meaning here. It's for somebody. I want to encourage you to release that, you know, ask for wisdom to how to release that to whoever it is. But it's fun. Okay. So, you know, I want to say this too, is that the goal of like hearing his voice, one of the goals, the main goal is intimacy with him, okay? And we're going to talk about that here at the end. But the second thing is this, is that Paul says, if we live according to the things of the Spirit, we won't do the things of the flesh, okay? And so for me, I'll tell you this, like I struggled with pornography for many years as a young guy, okay? And so for years, I would try to fast against this thing. I would try to just do this behavior maintenance thing where I'm always trying to behave better. Okay, always before me is my own shortcomings. And what I stumbled upon this verse in Galatians, and it's in Galatians, but there's also, he also says the same thing in Romans 8:12. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die, but if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit are sons of God. Sorry, the verse is in Galatians. But the idea is this. I stumbled upon this verse, and I began to realize, so what happened was this, when I would struggle with pornography, for example, I would fall down, I would look at it, whatever, and I would sin, and for around 2 weeks afterwards, I would almost kind of avoid the Lord, because I wasn't holy enough, okay, like, that's what I felt like, and we'll talk, Anyways, I want to complete this up, and I want to come back to identity in Christ really quickly, okay? But so I would do that. But then I discovered this verse, and I began to realize, no, my answer is not going to be like in somehow overcoming this thing. Because when I was focusing on the sin of pornography, I would always be looking at it. I would always be most conscious of how holy I've been that week. But I realized this, no, my goal is to stop being so sin conscious and to start being spirit conscious and Jesus conscious, right? And so what I would end up doing is this, is beginning to go into radical worship, getting alone in my room, just worshiping, right? I would begin to pray and to begin to hear his voice. And I say this, is that to the extent to which you walk in a Chick-fil-A and you say, Jesus, what do you want to do in this room? Okay, that's living in the place of the Spirit. Who do you want me to pray for? And being most conscious of his reality and his kingdom, not just like in church, but throughout the day. You either come into Chick-fil-A thinking those things, or you come in thinking like, okay, I want a chicken burger, or like, you know, if you're a single guy, like, we're the cute girls, or if you're a single girl, we're the cute guys here. Okay, so they're two different realms of thinking. You see what I'm saying? And then the goal is that in hearing his voice, we're invited into the realm of the Spirit. Okay, and it says again in Romans 8:12, for those who are led by the Spirit are sons of God. And so this is what it means to be, if we're going to be led by someone, you have to discern his voice, right? It'd be impossible for me to lead you if we had no way of communicating. But even if you had a blindfold on, I was like, hey, okay, go straight five feet. Okay, now make it right. I could lead you, right? Because you would hear my voice. And so for me, like hearing his voice is not it's not just for prophets. It's fundamental to a life of having a real relationship with Jesus, having a real relationship with someone. Does that make sense? Okay. So, yeah, and I want to say something really too quickly about, and then we're going to just go into some times actually practicing hearing his voice. But I want to say that I struggled again with this sin, and I struggle with condemnation, but I really struggle with this, is not understanding my identity in Christ. So what I believed was this, is that my ability to come into my Father's presence was dependent on how holy I've been the past 2 weeks, okay? Or you know, how much I've measured up to the law. But here's the thing, is that what's at the center of my relationship with my Heavenly Father is not my righteousness, it's Jesus's righteousness. So if you picture this, there's me, and then there's God the Father there, and there's a bridge. So for so long, the bridge was my own righteousness. When I measured up for the past 2 weeks, like I could come into my Father's presence. I had earned the right to come into his presence, okay? When I came into worship service in that mentality, I wouldn't be able to enjoy worship because I'd be just ticking off the things that I'd done right, and then the enemy would attack me with condemnation. Oh, and basically I'm not able to actually go over to the other side of the bridge, right? But when I began to realize, no, like my ability to touch my Father's not based on my own righteousness, it's based on Jesus's righteousness. I came into a place of being able to enjoy him. And it's important because when I would fall down for a while, like I overcame sin because I learned to taste Jesus so deeply and I learned to enjoy him. The greatest pleasure of all is when God reveals God inside of us, right? When the Holy Spirit reveals the presence of Jesus inside of us, right? How many of you guys in worship, that's what you experience? You experience his peace coming alive in you, yeah? That's the greatest pleasure. And in those places where you're worshiping him, sin's so foreign to you because you're living in the realm of the Spirit. Your thinking patterns are based on his beauty, are based on him. And the goal is that we would always live in that place, okay? And then these things, the lesser thought patterns, which is what sin is just, like once you've tasted, how many of you guys like Sala? Daniel, did you raise your hand? What's wrong with you, man? No, kidding. Okay, so once you've tasted Sala, you don't want to go taste like McDonald's chicken McNuggets, right? It's just not the same thing, right? So once we've tasted the superior pleasure of Jesus, the other stuff just begins to go away. And this is what happened, is that as I took my eyes off my sin and just focused on Jesus, even when I felt I would fall down sometimes, and I would normally run away for like 2 weeks and but I would just go into radical worship. We live in Florida, so it's nice and flat. So I get on my bicycle and just for 2 hours, just like just worship, just sing, just pray. Anyways, but as I learned to enjoy the Spirit and be led on these little adventures with Jesus, like by hearing his voice. So if you projected my thought life for 2 weeks, less and less of it was caught up with sin, less and less of it. And I overcame it, not because I checked off all these sins, I finally overcame these things. No, I overcame all the sins just because I gazed on him, just because I began to enjoy him. And so that's what Jesus died for, is that we have access to our Father to enjoy him. and then we just don't do the things of the flesh. We just lose the hunger for it. There's still discipline we need, but I'm saying it no longer rules our life. Okay, so let's do this. We're gonna just read some scripture, and then we're gonna ask Jesus to apply it to our lives personally. Does that make sense? Okay. So I say this. There's typically four things that we have that are really good to have to hear our Father's voice. He'll speak to anybody, but it's really good if we know that He's a good Father, and that's our heart foundation, that we're held in the family not based on our own righteousness, but based on Jesus. Every time the Father looks at you, even if you just did something bad like 2 hours ago, you just got mad at your mom or whatever it was, He looks at you and He sees Jesus inside of you, and because you've invited Him in, right? And He's like, I love that girl. I love that guy. They've got some broken thought patterns. Yeah, they've got some broken behavior patterns, but I love them. And so they have access. And we have to know that, because otherwise the littlest sin, the enemy's going to use condemnation to stop us from touching Him. So we have to, when we come to the Lord to hear His voice, we have to have faith. Okay, without faith, it's impossible to please God. I know a lot of Slavic believers who... And American believers too, we'd have no problem if somebody was sick here, we'd ask them to come up, right? And we'd lay hands on them and we'd pray, right? Okay, and we would believe this, that God right then would be listening to us, right? He'd hear us and He would answer in that moment in time with healing, right? Okay, and we have to have that same level of faith, no less, no more though, that if we come before Him and ask Him a question, that He'll speak with us, okay? It's just the same thing. Okay, but there's not anybody else. It's just you. Okay, some other things to keep in mind is that when we go into this, I want you. We're going to ask Him, and then we're just going to rest. Okay, and then we're going to begin to note what's going through our mind. He often speaks in our mind. Okay, He didn't just give us our minds and our imaginations so that we could imagine what an Audi in 2020 looks like, or what, you know, that Kabluki and the Yubko will look like together, okay? He didn't just give us that, okay? He gave it to us primarily because He loves to speak in our minds, okay? When you're worshiping and closing your eyes, what's going on in your mind sometimes? Good stuff, yeah? Good stuff, right? He reminds you of different aspects of His character, whatever it is. But he uses our imaginations. We know that. We definitely admit, as good Christians, that the enemy uses our minds, right? So a thought of lust comes up, and it's an invitation into a behavior and a thought pattern of belief, right? Lust, okay? The enemy uses our thought life, but the Lord uses our thought life too. Okay, so He loves to speak to our minds. So we have to have faith that as we ask, He'll speak with us, and He'll often begin to lead our thoughts. Okay. And we have to have basic faith again that if we ask Him a question and rest, that He will speak. And so it's like this. If you came up to me and you're like, Matt, what's the capital of Japan? You would assume, it's just you and me, that the next thing to hit your brain waves would be me saying Tokyo. Okay? And you would receive, like, that's Matt's voice. I asked Him. So we have to have the same thing, that we ask Him. The next thing that begins to go through our mind is him answering us. Okay? So we'll receive it by faith at first. Okay? Okay, so let's just close our eyes. Okay, so we'll start off with just some really basic questions that a good father would love to answer if you ask him. One other thing you have to do is this: when you ask him a question, just ask him and then rest. I know there can be a tendency to ask the Lord questions and then keep praying, which is good. I love praying. I would have that we pray all the time, certainly more than we do. But in a conversation, it's very hard to hear someone else's voice if you're speaking, right? And that's how it often is with the Lord too. He comes in the stillness. So I'm going to pray over you, and then I'm going to ask you just to ask Him questions and rest, and then let's just talk about, well, then we'll debrief. So Lord, I thank You. I thank You that You're in this room, because You said that we are the temples of the Holy Spirit. And so each person here who invited You and the Spirit of Jesus into their lives has Jesus in them. And so You're here because they're here. And I thank You that You live in them, not based on their own righteousness, but based on the righteousness of Jesus. And I thank You that You're the one who said, "My sheep hear My voice." I thank You that You would learn any language to teach your children Your voice, God, there's nothing that you would stop at. Just as I would learn any language to speak with my children, so you would. I thank you that your ability to speak is greater than our inability to listen or to hear. It's actually on your goodness and your power and your strength. God, so I thank you that you will speak. And I want you just to ask Jesus then, Jesus, how much do you love me? Just ask him in your own words and then rest. Jesus, what do you love most about me? Okay, we'll read some scripture and keep your eyes closed. Who here felt like the Lord said something to either the first or the second question? Just raise your hand. Keep your eyes closed, though. Okay, cool. Okay, so Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So he's saying here, just keep your eyes closed, that a shepherd is one who takes care of his sheep. Even when the sheep are sleeping, he's still awake to guard them, to protect them. Even when the sheep is eating grass and unaware, the shepherd's there protecting them. So I want you to ask Jesus, what is one moment in the past 4 months, so since New Year's, that you were protecting me or providing for me that I wasn't even aware of? Would you bring that to my remembrance now? Raise your hand if you kind of brought up a memory. Just keep your eyes closed. Okay, cool. Okay, real quick, who here kind of hasn't heard anything, which is totally okay? Keep your eyes closed. Just raise your hand. It's okay. It's all right.